Welcome down to another Welcome Down Sheepfoot Lane podcast with Binman. And it is a great pleasure to have former Oldham Athletic player Guy Branstead. How's it going, Guy?
Well, thank you very well. I'm happy in life and ticking along nicely. Thanks for asking me on. It's a great pleasure to come on.
Good. Keeping safe.
Yeah, doing what you got to do. And obviously, the lockdown's going to affect what I do now. But it's, you know, you have just to manage it. You're saving people's lives by doing it. Just get on with it.
Absolutely, Guy. Absolutely. So, right then, Guy. So, we just want to think, how did you get into football? How did it all come about at a young age, obviously? So, how did it come about?
Had the opportunity of going through the system. The academy system at Leicester City. I was playing Sunday football like most kids did at my age, and I was doing particularly well, and you know, I was scouted by Notts County at the time, and then went eventually into Leicester City and signed for Leicester City, and then come through the system there. Ended up joining various different clubs and ended up at Oldham. So, you know, checkered career, as they say, travelling around doing the things I did, but started very young, enjoyed it very young, and been obsessed with it ever since.
Yeah, obviously, your first club. Where was your first club, Guy? Which was your first professional club?
Leicester City.
Sorry, say that again, matey.
Leicester City.
So you started there, and obviously you went on to have a good career at Rotherham, didn't you?
Yeah, 5 years at Rotherham.
And what were they?
Around Yorkshire with them. We won considerable amount of football matches early on in, like, I think it was something like 1999-2000.
Yeah.
And got promoted back to back. Ended up in the Championship, playing against some big clubs, Man City, Fulham, places like that. And we just had a real good crew of guys. Ronnie Moore was the manager at the time. Good guy. Worked with him, obviously, there. And I ended up leaving there in 2004 for Sheffield Wednesday after a couple of loans.
Yeah.
And I ended up then obviously joining from Sheffield Wednesday to Oldham.
Well, we'll touch on to that, Guy, but I want to go on about your Rotherham days. I've got a very good friend who's a big Rotherham fan, and he told me to ask you about an incident at Old City, if you want to explain, if you could.
I've just literally spoke about it on another podcast, that's why. I was a young boy. I was on loan from Leicester City. We had an opportunity of going on loan there, took the opportunity, did particularly well. It's probably the last week of my loan, and we played Hull City. Got stamped on in the game. I kicked out, which I shouldn't have, and got sent off. Walked down the tunnel on my own, and like you did back then. Walked into the changing rooms, and there was a door on the left hand side as I was walking into the changing rooms, and I just punched the door, pulled my arm out, punched the door again, and walked into the dressing room. Didn't think anything of it. Then I just felt like a stream of tiredness come over me, and I'd been losing a lot of blood out of my arm, which I didn't realise whilst I was getting changed. And it was all on the floor and puddled on the floor, and then I walked out to try and get the doctor. I'd seen an ex-player called Colin Alside, big guy, big centre forward, and he was a beast of a boy, and his legs were wobbling because of the amount of blood that was spraying out my arm, and just various different things went on then, and they ended up signing for Rotherham full time about a week later, or 2 weeks later, I think it was. So, yeah, it was a crazy 10 minutes, but, you know, one that I suppose put me in a bit of a carving into the memories of the Rotherham fans, rather than, you know, the goal I scored for promotion and things like that. They never asked me about that. They always asked me about me losing my arm.
Well, you laugh about it now, Guy, but obviously at the time, obviously it was quite serious, and I know you can laugh about it now, but obviously it could have been a lot worse than it was, really.
Yeah, I fell a glass in my arm when I went to the hospital, stayed the night in Hull Hospital. I was very close to the arteries in my arms. I was very, very pissed off for getting sent off. I let myself down by kicking out, which I knew, and I was just disappointed, and you know, I punched the door and didn't know it was a referee's door, obviously, and didn't target the aggression towards anybody, really, just other than throwing me fists around. And you know, you learn from these experiences and you move on.
Yeah, of course you do.
Yeah, just having a look at your career, Guy, obviously Rotherham, you was the time where you had the most appearances. Would you say that was your most happiest at a club where you managed to get the back to back promotion?
Yeah, that initial period of time was fantastic. It was an amazing occasion to get the back to back promotions. It wasn't the happiest I've ever been at a football club. There was numerous of times across my career when I was happy. I was very happy at Oldham.
Yeah.
I was very happy at Torquay, Sheffield Wednesday. There's loads of patches of happiness within my career. So I didn't just think, oh yeah, Rotherham was and I look back and I reminisce all the time about Rotherham, because I'll be honest with you, that the whole career is massively kind of moved on from. You know, I'm doing all the things now, I'm busy. I had an unbelievable time at all these different places, but I remember so many positive things that went on in my career and so many negatives as well. So Rotherham was a good time, you know, a real good time, and it definitely outweighed the negativity that was happened within the time that I was there. And when I say, let me get one thing straight, when I say negative, I'm talking about, you know, things that happened that upset me at the time. I'm not holding any bitterness towards anybody or you know, the angriest sex footballer you've ever met who's just lost his head in a bottle. I'm not like that at all. So.
No, well, we'll touch on to it was Brian Talbot that brought you to Oldham, weren't it? Was it Brian Talbot?
Big Brian Talbot, yeah. He signed me originally.
Yeah.
For Rushden Diamonds when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I'd done very well from him. And he from then on, he was always come and sign for me. We kept in contact. I got on really well with him. He was a fantastic guy, fantastic coach, a workhorse. Somebody who grafted his nuts off in the management and the coaching.
Yeah.
Wanted to train hard and play hard every day. And I liked working for him anyway, so I always kept in contact with him. And we touched base that season, we touched base about Mark Harbour.
Mark Harbour, yeah.
And he called me regarding Mark Harbour because I'd played with him at Peterborough and I rated him as a centre-half. But I said, you need someone with him who's going to win his tackles and win his headers for him because he's a footballer.
Yeah.
He's a footballing centre-half. I was always honest with him when he rang me up about players because he knew I was interested in football in general anyway. So we always kept in contact, and that's who brought me to the football club in February. I think my first game was against Bristol City and we got battered.
Yeah, if I want to bring it up, you scored an own goal that night, if I remember correctly. I was there at the game, if I remember correctly. I think you did score an own goal. But I think 2 days later, Brian Talbot lost his job, didn't he?
Well, yeah, funny enough, we're in the training ground. I don't know about the own goal, so I won't agree to that. we had some good lads in there, and he tried to, I suppose, get a team together that were young and vibrant. And you know, Kilkenny was in there. Scott, you know, Smalling was about to come through the youth team. You know, there's loads of talent in the youth of Oldham Athletic, which I was always impressed with, even when I was there for the next 18 months. You know, Scott Spencer, Shearer was a goalkeeper. Scott Spencer, Chris, obviously Chris Taylor, loads of them, stacks. Yeah. So you go on there and you walk into the dressing room and you've got Alex Bruce there and at the time Kilkenny. You think you're going to go to Bristol City, but I think when I literally had like one day's training in the first team, and there was still a bit of hanging over from previous management, still a few players hanging about, there was still a bit of a vibe about the place that wasn't very good, and I kind of picked that up early doors. And then within 2 days, Brian had obviously been asked to leave, and you know, it might have been down to me, whatever, but you know, I ended up staying at the football club for 18 months, having a great time, wanted to stay longer.
Yeah.
The chairman at the time was...
Simon Corney was chairman at the time, and Blitz. Simon Corney, Blitz and Gazelle were, I think they were just taken over.
Yeah, Blitz and Corney, I met Simon a few times, kept in contact with Simon.
Yeah.
And I was just trying to remember the other two. Blitz was the guy from New York, and we're both obviously based in New York.
Yeah, they? That's right, yeah.
And I ended up having a conversation with a couple of them over being at the football club longer, and I felt that they were always looking at the exit strategy as well.
Yeah.
And they seen it as like, well, it's a big club with big academy and it would do well and we could just get in and out. And I weren't too sure if the longevity of the football club was anything they really thought of too long as well, because I thought they were young lads coming into this, I suppose, fantastic Manchester club, or yeah, greater Manchester club, and not really doing much about the rest of it that needed to be done, because it was a big old club that needed, you know, a bit of work doing to it. The training ground was terrible. The one behind the training ground, the one behind the ground was terrible.
Yeah.
There was a lot of money needed to be spent, serious money.
He's still the same now, guy, exactly. Believe it or
yeah,
not.
Exactly.
He's still the same.
That's what I mean. Listen, we can. It's difficult running a football club. It's difficult owning a football club. It's difficult being in football. And it's never got harder now.
Well, when you came in, obviously, you touched on, you're going on about Brian Talbot's brought you in, obviously, 2 days later after the Bristol City defeat. Obviously,
I chased him out of the car park, you know.
Who?
Brian Talbot.
Did you?
I chased him out of the car park because he'd obviously brought me in on an 18-month deal. And he's obviously got sacked 2 days later. Are you taking the fucking piss? I'm shouting at him in the car park. You know, it's one of them things, but I think he walked rather than
I think you're right. Yeah, I think it was a mutual, weren't it?
The lads said goodbye. Basically, well, that's why I ended up following him out of the car park. I've come here for you.
Yeah, 2 days later he's gone.
Did you get the feeling that he was going to be sacked before you came, or after you came from like the dressing room?
No. It wasn't. As I said to you, we came to the train guy and he said goodbye to the lads.
And that was it.
And that was the following, I think, like the next day or something, or the day after. I mean, Monday. And it was a great, honestly. I had such a good fun time there. That's why I was buzzing when you asked me to come on, because the lads that were around the place at the time were Sam, like Will Aining, Dean Holden, Chris Killen, Stefan Stam.
Yeah.
You know, just good, vibrant kids. And it was just a fun group. But we were also like we weren't really fulfilling our potential as players.
No.
And it needed a bit of organisation. It needed a bit of, well, the kids are kind of all in the roost here.
Yeah.
And then when Simon rang me up, literally a couple of days later after Brian got sacked, and said, "Look, what's your thoughts on Ronnie Moore?" And I was like, "Fuck, I just got rid of him."
Yeah.
Being a professional man like I am,
yeah,
I knew the benefit of having him in the building.
Yeah.
I knew that he'd take us away from the relegation zone.
And what you achieved under him.
I knew what he could do.
Yeah.
And he pulled me in the first day and, "Oh, let's bygones be bygones. I know I treated you poorly at the end when I was at Rotherham, but, you know." And I was going, "You treat me like a fucking idiot when I was at Rotherham at the end."
Yeah.
But he was also just doing his job. You know, there was better players in front of me. I wasn't doing it for him as a player. And at the end, inevitably, we shook on it and left. And so, again, I wasn't holding it against him. And I put in some really good performances for Oldham. And like I said, I really enjoyed my football then. I still look at it and go, should I have took the money to leave that I did?
Yeah.
Or stay another year. But the money that they offered at the time, Alan Ardair, Simon Corner, and Ronnie Moore, I was on really good money.
Yeah.
Under Talbot, and they wanted me to take a big pay cut because one who got the sack, and then Chez took over.
Yeah.
And Chez said, "Look, that's all we've got." Like, Chez was great with me, and I ended up working for him again, like, you know. But Chez was great with me, and Chez said, "Look, I want you to sign, but that's all I've got. Like, I've only got that amount of money."
Yeah.
And I'm going, "Well, you know, I know you got kids on more than me."
Yeah.
And it got in the papers, and it kind of fucking killed me a bit because, you know, someone must have leaked it to the papers that I've said, you know, I don't want to earn the money that the kids are earning.
Yeah.
And I was like a season pro, won like four or five promotions, and I was getting the same money as like a brand new kid was getting.
And obviously, yeah, it's not right that, and when you look at it, it's a bit wrong.
It's just respect for who I am and what I can bring to the table. And
they should be looking up to you, shouldn't they? They should be looking up to you, shouldn't they? You know, you shouldn't be on nowhere near with what you were on, you know what I mean? You've been about the game.
I wasn't asking for a lot more, I just wanted to be paid fairly.
Yeah, absolutely.
I thought the offer was what they offered me at the time. I think it was a wage cut of like 600-700 quid at the time, because I remember I've got them figures in my head and I'm good with figures.
Yeah.
And it was like a big cut.
Yeah.
And I had another club offering me basically what I was earning, plus the sign-on fee, plus this, plus near home. And I'm going, "I've got this, look what I've got."
Yeah.
You've only got to get a bit more in the pot, and I'll stay with Oldham. I was enjoying it, and it was a division higher.
Looking at that season, I think he was the second most appearances. I think Wellens played every game that season, and I think you were second on there. So I think 40 plus games.
I had a good run in the team. The season before, I got incredibly fit that pre-season. I remember it was very unusual, right? Being a heavy set lad, 16 stone anyway, so I'm a unit. And I remember coming back pre-season having a right go. I mean, a proper go at it. And I was at the front of the running with Butch. Butch was an unbelievable runner.
Yeah.
Richie Butch, Paul had passed away.
Yeah.
I remember being at the front of the running and everyone looking at me going, Jesus Christ, like, you're flying. And I was. You know, I picked up a little niggle in my calf just before the start of the season, but got in the team and I was fit as anything. Like, the fittest I've been that, like, ever, other than, you know, probably a bit later on in my career. But, you know, at that time, it was the fittest I've been at that age group, for 25, 26. And I just enjoyed myself. I was living in Sheffield. I was travelling over with Warnie and Scotty and Swaz. Chris Swales, and at the end of it, Luke Beckett, and it was just a good, vibrant group. You know, experienced pros around me. You know, they're on the older age of their careers, and we just had a good car school, who was the base for the team.
Yeah.
So then we had good young lads around us, obviously, as well. Chris Hall, Luke Beckett up top. Obviously, Chris Taylor was coming through. Jason was coming through. You know, Killian was hanging around, Will Aining was there, Ricky Butcher in midfield, Forbes there, Terrell, I still speak to now, I love him to pieces.
He got a bit of stick at Oldham, Terrell Forbes.
Not a lot of fans liked him, to be fair. Whether he went on to actually have a good career after Latics, he really did. Not a lot of our fans giving the time of day, though, Brano. They really didn't.
I don't know if that was taken on by him.
Yeah.
He really enjoyed the place. He loved Manchester. He loved the Oldham Football Club, and we had such fond memories of that dressing room because we all got on.
Yeah,
like, well, there was, I still speak to him, you know, Chris Killen, still speak to him, you know, texting him from time to time, Ayrsy I bump into, you know, good lads.
Oh yeah,
proper solid lads. And it's unusual, trust me, I've been in that many different dressing rooms, it's unusual to, like, that's the training before training. Like, I can't wait to get to work, that sort of scenario.
Yeah,
you're playing football for a job anyway, which is great.
Yeah.
You're bouncing around enjoying yourself. And then you've got the opportunity, like, going in with a group of lads that you actually like. And it didn't matter that we train at some dodgy shithole training ground, some dodgy facilities. We're not getting this, we're not getting... No one gave a fuck, we just had a laugh. We made it fun.
Yeah.
Ah, the bus has broke down! Ah, fuck it, lads, let's go to pub.
Yeah. Proper football, you know.
Walk to the pub.
Yeah.
So we're in the pub having a few beers on the way back. And, like, we've got a game Tuesday and we'd have a few beers and it wouldn't matter because we've got a game Tuesday and we ended up having a good run, didn't we? Nearly got the playoffs.
We did.
Until we dropped off a little. But he'd had a go. You could tell he'd had a go with some of the signings he'd made. So I think he got sacked because of that.
Yeah, he signed some really experienced players. Ronnie Moy, he signed the players which he knew from Rotherham. Like you said, there, you touched on a few, Rob Scott, Swales,
Paul Warren.
These type of players who knew League One football. And obviously, we'd just survived the season before. I think Beckett, goal stayed up and signing him. He still probably is one of the best strikers we've had in the recent years. Like you said, you touched on the dressing room. Everyone around the similar age at that time. And they said it was just like a good team at that time. It's like all Oldham fans look at it fondly. That team feel like we could have got the playoffs that season.
We should have got the playoffs. Yeah. No doubt about it. A few little results could have gone our way. And you know, like, we should have turned points into three points.
I think it was our away form, weren't it? That was...
we just didn't seem to travel away. I remember Ronnie Moore, funny enough, you just reminded me about something. He said if I could get the lads to be picked up in a bus from an hotel, you know, at home, and all this, like, trying to change the form, and he was superstitious as it was. So there was loads of different things that went against us as well as galvanised us. So we had a group of lads that, like I said, Andy Little, and we had some really good footballers of that generation and that age group and that league who knew the job, and that's what they're good at, like Breck and Ronnie at the time. were good at getting lads in who knew the jobs, and they didn't need a lot of management. They just got on with it.
Yeah.
That was huge. Like, I was one who got on with Warney. Was, you know, good pros, good people, and we just, you know, made sure that the lads were at it and the young lads were at it, because Ches was like youth team manager at the time. He didn't know which direction he was going. He wanted to coach but didn't want to manage. He wanted to manage but didn't want to coach. You know, it was very much up in the air what he was doing. But he ended up coaching with us, and I always used to get in early because we drove in quite early and sit and have a coffee with him, talking to him and laughing with him and joking with him, and he was just a character himself, you know. So there's so much good staff around the place that it was good. Alan Hardy was a good guy, and you could speak to him. He was the money man, and you go and see him about the dough, and he'd always try and pull your pants down over £10. And, you know, various different things, but I still text him. You know, I still text him, and you know that's what I'm saying. I turn up at the football club, and I'm still well treated and well looked after, and you know I missed it when I left it, sort of thing. You know, you've been at a good club where that happens.
Well, John Tothingu, a lot of Latics fans that I know and I speak to, obviously that era what you was involved with at Latics, Guy, I want to ask you for a question. Should Ronnie Moore have been sacked, looking at it now?
No, I don't think so. In regards to the situation behind the scenes, you just don't know what goes on.
No.
Had he probably had a reasonable war chest to go and get his promotion?
Yes,
he has. Would it have been a disappointment if it got in the playoffs? No, it wouldn't have. You know, it would have been a celebration because it was the only probably side for recent years that have got anywhere near it. Obviously, with Lee and Welly going on at that time, I'm on about, you know, for recent years, not obviously in the future. But I think probably, you know, given the start of the season again and galvanised the group even further and add a few more tweaks to it, you probably would have got in the playoffs. You probably would have had a run. But to stop a ship, right, this is what people don't understand outside of it, to stop a ship that's going in one direction takes a lot of work. It's not just one man job. Yeah. It's like the board needs to be better, the commercial side needs to be better. There's so many different things that needed organising within the football club, and management of the football club was just one department. To turn a ship, which it was turning pretty good, could have kept Simon in a club that was probably been sold for more now, you know, rather than selling it to obviously Abdullah at the time. So there's loads of them things you can look to and play devil's advocate with. But Simon made this decision, Ronnie Moore made this decision, you know, they're part of the company.
Well, and then, sorry, go on, Guy. Sorry, go on, mate.
And then obviously Ches took over and it launched his career as a manager.
It did take off, yeah, for him.
We love it. We love him at Oldham. Every time he gets sacked, we want him back. As you say, he's been here three or four times, and he is an Oldham legend.
Yeah. He is. He was brilliant for us, Guy Sheridan. But I think he was sacked, Ronnie Moore, because of season ticket sales, if I remember correctly. We had very poor season ticket sales, and a lot of our fans didn't like
his style of football.
You know, every club he's managed and we've been against him, our fans turn around and go, hoof, hoof, hoof. You know, giving it to Ronnie Moore because that's the style of football he played. Was that the style of football he wanted to play, or, you know?
How can you ever be hoosh football when you've got Richie Wellens in the team?
Yeah.
Andy Liddle, Paul Warne. You know, these were footballers.
Yeah.
Like even at the... I remember still having Killen there at the time when he took over. You know, like, Richie Wellens, unbelievable footballer, played in the Premier League with Leicester City in the Championship and won the Championship and obviously became your manager. He was a proper footballer.
Yeah, he was. He was great, Wellens.
Bringing him off at, like, 55 minutes because he destroyed Bradford.
Oh, we always talk about that game, don't we, brothers?
Yeah, I'm sure he played on one leg as well because he got injured early doors and he still dominated it.
He absolutely set up three goals and got a standing ovation.
Yeah.
By the Bradford fans.
Yeah, he
and
did.
We battered them, I think, 3-0.
Yeah, 3-0 it was.
More, we just dominated them. And, like, I can remember that game. I don't remember many games, funny enough. I don't remember many games. I remember a lot of Oldham games.
Yeah.
And we've, like, beat up Forest at the time, who were the big spenders in the division. I think we drew at theirs and they beat us at ours. Loads of, like, Grant Holt was playing. Loads of little, like... Because League One back then was a big division.
It was.
There was a lot of good teams in the division. Except for Wednesday,
No, we're not. You're not. You're right. You're absolutely right, Guy. I don't...
Yesterday, Oldham were a big club.
Yeah, they were.
You know, a big, big Manchester club. You know, up there with Burnley, up there with Blackburn, up there with, you know, with them all.
Yeah.
You know, obviously not Man United and Man City, but up there with the next group of Manchester teams. The disappointment you've had, the disappointment, no one's ever really grabbed hold of it. People have played with it.
It's just been a downward spiral for a long time, Branston, really, if I'm honest. Believe it or not. Let me tell you something which is astonishing. We've not finished in the top half since 2007 and 2008 of football.
Yeah.
Top half of football.
It's disappointment.
It's been hard.
The problem you have, and this is where, say, Lee Johnson comes in and goes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right, and then Richard Wellen comes in and goes.
Yeah.
Like your previous two managers have been probably your most successful in regards to wins.
Yeah.
But they haven't got you promoted.
No. No.
Lee Johnson didn't get you promoted, did
he? No, he didn't, no. We haven't had a promotion since 1999, you know, since we got promoted to the Premier League in the early 90s. We've not done anything since. It's been that bad.
It's just, like you said, a spiral of like, you ain't gonna get relegated in this division at the minute. This is it. You struggle to get relegated. It's very difficult to get relegated out of the Football League.
Yeah.
Unless there's major things wrong.
A lot of our fans seem to think there is with our obviously our current owner, and you know it's hard at the minute, Branston. You know, obviously we know we got a virus going on, and you know every club's putting up with that. It's not just us. We can't sit here and feel sorry for ourselves. I know we sit fourth, fifth, bottom of the, you know, League Two. We can't just sit there and feel sorry for us. We need to get the lads up and get it ready. You know, we can't. You know.
Do you think though, as fans, this is my opinion, and I've come across Abdullah a few times.
Yeah.
As we had a player there, Daniel Everson. You know, do you think he's going out of his way? Right, I read a lot of the stuff that's posted. Do you think anyone at that football club is going out their way not to help the football club?
No, I'd say no.
Who would it benefit?
It wouldn't benefit anyone.
It wouldn't benefit him because he's putting his money in to produce players on a football pitch on a Saturday, to hire big names to go and manage you.
Yeah.
And the big names with very little coaching experience. And, you know, they're trying to raise the profile of the football club to the point of everyone's looking at Oldham.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of unluckiness about it. There's a lot of well, hold on a minute, this isn't working again, this isn't working. Well, let's change it. If they're not changing it, then they're at fault. I get that.
Yeah,
but no one's going out their way on a Saturday afternoon to not win a football match.
No, definitely not. You don't. No, I absolutely agree. We've had a few of these podcasts coming on about our owners at the minute. You know, and it is hard. You know, it is. I wouldn't like to run a football club. I know probably you wouldn't, Branston. You know, it is hard. I'm not saying it isn't. It's just.
I'd like to run a football club.
You would.
Yeah.
You would.
I think that I'd have an idea of how to run a football club.
Do you want to come in? Well, is that an offer for us then, Branston? Or?
I've spoke to Abdullah a few times, so don't worry about it.
Branston, you're welcome here anytime. I'll support you, believe me.
Managing a football club is very different to running a football club.
Yeah.
You know, it's very different to coaching a football club. But you've got to understand that Harry Kewell might have come in to manage the team. He might be told what players to play. You know, he might be told totally different. There might be so many different aspects of this outside looking in that needs to be understood.
Yeah.
Now, if a coach is being head coach is then being looked at to go, right, go and coach the team, I'll give you the players, you make them better, we'll sell them, or however you look at it. I think it's, you know, I think Harry would have took it because Harry's got to get his career back on track.
Well, should you be told what to be, though? Isn't that that my opinion is? I know probably old fashioned, but I think we should be leaving it to the manager to pick the players.
But you're not employed a manager, you're employed a head coach.
Yeah. But shouldn't it's his final decision whether he picks that player or not?
We don't know, do we? Again, we're speculating.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're only speculating. So when you're looking at that, you've got a recruitment department, which is what looks like, you know, whoever they're bringing in, how does Harry know him or does Harry know him or, you know, all these different things.
Yeah.
You've got then the chairman, you've got his brother, obviously. You've got the board to speak to. You've got the management of what... you're hoping that Harry knows what a good player looks like in League Two.
Yeah.
You know, you're hoping, but does he know? You don't know. You don't know if he's done the work in it. Well, he's managed in it, so there's a good chance he does. He's been a good player, so there's a good chance he knows what a good player looks like. You know, all these different things that you've got to pat them on the back for to try and get him in place to hopefully win a football match. And on the outside looking in, you can kind of see the angle he's took with this one.
Yeah.
But it's still not working.
So we've had obviously you touched on Daniel Iverson before. He was a fantastic keeper for us. He's one of the best keepers which we had. Our loan signings have been very good. Looking at the loan players which we've had Callum Lang, we had Sam Surridge who's in Championship. He played in Premier League.
Jordan Lydon.
We've had good loan players, but the majority of the squad which have come in are from European overseas market. Do you believe that players should be for a League Two team? Or do you reckon more domestic based, more loans like you said, your Daniel Iversons, your Sam Surridge?
I have difficulty in European players coming into League Two and getting their heads around it because I've worked with them.
Yeah.
And it's the difficulty of the standard they don't understand. They think they're going to come in and cruise it.
Yeah.
And it's a very difficult standard. And it's a very high intensity sort of football with a turnover, a transitional game that's very, very quick.
Yeah.
And it's not a slow, relaxed sort of style that a lot of the Europeans are used to. Yeah. And it's not technically gifted style either. It's a hoofball sometimes, like you said. But that's only for a small period of time in the game.
Yeah.
And what always gets me about football fans, and it isn't just negative to you guys or anyone really, it's just the fact that you only remember it if you lose it.
Yeah, no, that's true. That is true. I couldn't agree more with you.
You know, you only remember the style of play if you lose. You never remember it if it's... Oh, we played some great football. Remember that goal?
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember how I scored, but we won 1-2-0. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, but when we lost, we, you know, it was a terrible, terrible style of play. Everything's terrible. Everyone's against us.
Yeah.
You know, and all these different things start to add into it. But, like, if these players, right, here's a flip side. If these players had come in, and you've got three or four examples now bringing these European lads and you're selling them for $300,000-$400,000.
Yeah.
Then that way of doing it in the lower leagues would work. Now, is there any history of that? Europeans coming into the league lower down and then moving into the higher league to sell on? There's no history of it.
No, there isn't, no.
Because it predominantly doesn't work.
No.
And you can't have a massive influx and... It's fair
to
say, he doesn't have a massive influx either.
No, I think when obviously Abdullah is an agent, obviously you'll know that. So obviously when he first come in, we thought we might get the best deal for play. We've actually only sold one for profit in the last under Abdullah, which was George Edmondson to Rangers, and obviously he's brought a hell of a lot of overseas players, and not one, probably one of it actually done all right, and he's actually left now. We really. Yeah.
You know, made him better. So, are you looking at one model like that where, you know, if George didn't have them European players around him, Clarke next to him, all these different people that he's got around him, good goalkeepers behind him, would he have got that move?
Well, that's a great thing. We wouldn't know, would we? But I say, I get what you're saying. I really do.
But
yeah.
If he goes and breaks out of the back, right, gives the ball away, and goes in and got Daniel Iversen then popping off them saves he was making for you.
Yeah.
Then everyone forgets the incident of George running out with the ball and losing it.
Yeah.
But if he ran out with the ball and lose it and they score against the goalkeeper,
you remember it. Yeah.
You remember George's incident of losing it.
Yeah.
So there's all these different ways of looking at it, and the difficulty, like you said, the difficulty you have is you've got a track record of playing European players, but you don't play loads of them.
No.
You've squad a few. Yeah, fair enough. But you don't play loads of them. You've still got a very English UK side.
Yeah.
We're predominantly experienced in the UK.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if that team isn't performing at a weekend for some whatever reason, then fingers need to be pointed. It's inevitable, unfortunately.
Well, that's it. We struggle for the last. It's mentally hard to go in, you know, because we've not done anything for that long. We're losing fans left, right, and centre. But you know, we were looking at attendances when you played under us. Branston was on 6,500, 7,000. I know a lot of gates have dropped, but now we're on to like 2,500. Obviously, not at the minute with what's going on, but 2,500 to 3,000. We've lost a hell of a lot of fans. It's just, you know, it's demoralising. You're getting beat on a Saturday. You know, you're not achieving anything. Right, we have a good couple of cup runs, but you know, we're not doing anything, and it is demoralising. It's not good to see.
Do you think the fans were moaning at Ronnie Moore's style of play when we did the playoffs, or were they moaning at his style of play when we were sacking him?
Yeah.
Well,
do you think you were moaning about Terrell when we were winning football matches?
Yeah.
Start moaning about him anyway.
Exactly. I think Oldham fans, I don't know if you obviously you picked up when you did play for us, our fans do get back on the back of players, back of managers quite easily. That's why sometimes we do go for us.
Hey, listen, that's football fans.
Yeah.
Like, you're great people. I'm not someone to knock a football fan because I'm a football fan.
Yeah.
You get there to let your frustration off, to blow your frustration off, and also there's always a player you don't like. There's 11 of them you could not like one week. There's 10 of them you could like the next week.
Yeah.
You know, there's always going to be them groups of fans or them groups of people, them so-called, unfortunately, keyboard warriors.
Yeah.
Podcast queens. You know, I don't want to look at it. Podcast people who just keep calling me Branston, which is annoying me, but I'll just get on with it because you're good kids.
Yeah.
But, you know, all these different things that we look to and have a laugh with, it's part of football. Of
course it is.
And it's great to talk about. You know, this is coming on a Sunday afternoon with you, talking about, you know, Oldham Athletic, remembering certain things. Fantastic. I just, you know, it can get to fans and can be disappointing, and you do want it to turn. And this could be the turn you need, because the pressure's off at the minute because everyone's struggling.
Yeah.
It used to be just Oldham. Now the whole league's struggling.
Yeah.
No. You know, and this is where you've got to look to it and go, hold on a minute, it might be a time to relaunch or revisit these issues that we've got at the club. As fans as well, what are the fans groups doing? Are they making it positive, or are they just like honing on the negative?
Well, you know, we know a few fans group, and you know, I know one in particular. You know, the genuine Oldham fans, and I say, you know, we're all in the same boat. We, you know, we all want the same thing. We just want results on a Saturday. We just want a good place to go to. You know, players that, you know, want to fight for the shirt. Not, oh, you know, we want players that can do it. We want a club to be proud of and go there on a Saturday afternoon and, you know, and get behind the lads and, you know, when the player's walking off thinking, you know what, I've put a shift in there. I'll clap if we get beat 3-0, as long as you put a shift in. That's football.
It may never to be you're struggling to put a shift in if you get beat 3-0.
I understand that, you know, if the opposition's good.
Around, you're convinced from some fans, but if you're running around running out of slots and getting beat here, there and everywhere, is a difficulty. So understanding that side of the thing, I agree with what you're saying. You want to feel like, you know what, they are having a go for us.
Yeah.
They're all part of the club.
Yeah.
And that's a big thing, I think, that, you know, going into football, knowing football and understanding culture and leadership and trying to understand the guys that are playing the game.
Yeah.
You know, getting people from outside of, say, local source clubs.
Yeah.
They're not always going to buy into the culture of Oldham.
Yeah.
And the culture of Oldham has got to be positive. It's got to be back to normal. It's got to be back to what it's all. And unfortunately, yesteryear's gone now. You know, Joe Royal's gone.
Yeah.
You can have a history of Joe Royal around the football club. I get that. But he's gone.
Well, me and Brad always talk about this all the time. A lot of our fans do live in the past, you know, going, oh, look at them days. But that's nearly 30 years ago now, Guy.
I know.
You know, 30 years ago, you know, we can't keep...
The last 10 years, I mean, you're talking... Yeah, 15 years ago there now.
Probably, just
over 15 years ago. And
yeah.
There ain't a lot happened.
No, there isn't. There hasn't.
And you can see disappointment, but there's so much you can go and do at the club as well.
Yeah.
So it can be a positive place. It can get back out in the community. It can start producing players. players like it used to. It used to produce players for fun.
Yeah, did. You're right.
And it still is, so-called, it still is producing players from the region, but are they at the club still till a later age?
Yeah.
Who's got hold of that? Who's got hold of it? You know, there's loads of them things that could improve and get back to where it used to be. And well, that's important as well, you know.
I ought to wonder.
Come back and save the club by getting Frank Bunning, but you've been doing nothing for years.
Yeah. That's what we want to change, Guy. This is we want to change that. That's what we want that massively. We want change. We want self-belief. We want the belief back. You know, like you just said, Guy. You know, we've done nothing for years. Surely that needs to change. It does need to change. And
well, yeah, but unfortunately, as I said to you about the ship.
Yeah.
Very difficult to change the ship's direction in a storm.
Yeah.
You know, if there's a storm happening all the time, there's always a problem, there's always a problem, there's always a problem, there's always a storm, there's always a storm.
Yeah.
Stop the storms, the boat will change direction.
Yeah.
You know, it'll stop getting knocked about, it'll stop getting damaged.
Yeah. No.
There's all these different things. You know, I've been at clubs where there was storms left, right, and centre. You put your finger in one hole and the water sprays out the other hole.
Yeah.
You put your finger in that hole, the water sprays out that hole.
Yeah.
All these different things can be changed, but people have to. I don't think going into football clubs not knowing what these storms are, not knowing what these situations are, but they're trying to do the best. And I think I've come across that door a few times. I can't genuinely not think he's trying to do his best for the club.
Yeah.
He just keeps running into dog shit.
Yeah. Great way of putting it, if I'm honest. You know.
The players that come in, something's gone wrong there.
Yeah.
They're not performing. Why are they not performing? Then you look at the coach. Then he sacks the coach. Then he looks at the coach. The players that the coach is bringing, which is giving opportunities for coaches to bring players in, ain't good enough.
Yeah.
You know, decisions need to be made. I get that. But you can't keep consistently making bad ones.
Well, he's made a hell of, believe it or not, Guy, we've had 8 managers. You could say 9, but one of them were twice. He's had 8 managers under his tenure. That's 2.5 years. He came in, was it January 2018? We've had 8 managers. You know, the turnover's not good.
Why, if these managers get these jobs, right, which they do, why would they not change it?
Yeah.
Are they managers? Are they head coaches? Can we point the blame? I think he's given lads genuine opportunities to change it.
Yeah.
They've not done it as well.
You know,
that's why they've been sacked. You know, he runs a football club to produce players, to sell players, to go up the leagues, to win things, to earn more money.
Yeah.
You know, produce players from the youth team into the first team and produce more. You know, he's gone into it to try and make money, surely.
Yeah, of course. I wouldn't expect anyone else to lose money. You wouldn't, would you?
Football matches, that's how you get money.
Yeah.
So he hasn't gone into it, detrimental to the community of Oldham.
Yeah.
And he's gone in with a different idea. He's tried to mix it up. He's tried to change it. And, you know, these coaches or these management don't want to buy into, want to go down the same route that people have always gone down. Like, if you look at some of the managers he's taken on.
Yeah.
And also look at some of the staff that he's taken on in regards to the management.
Yeah.
Right. He's trusted. He's put his hand in his pocket and paid these guys.
Yeah.
To do the job that they've inevitably even seen sacked before previously.
Yeah.
So, but they haven't done anything different when they come in. They've just tried to do what they've always known, which has got them sacked in the past.
Yeah.
So it's you know, and the better ones, the recently ones that have been around the place, your Richie Wellens and people like that.
Yeah.
Have jumped because they inevitably feel like they're going to get sacked.
Yeah.
Because it's such a difficult environment to be in the first place.
Yeah. No, that's my fault.
If you're successful, you know, you've got a chance of being poached. So would you not move for a better contract for your family? Of course you would.
That goes for a manager and a player.
Exactly. And if he got a massive offer from somebody to buy the football club because he's made it so successful, he'd sell it.
Well, you know, I think he. Well, we've heard that he has rejected a few offers for the club. Whether that again, that's speculation, Guy. So I've been told that he has turned down offers. Whether they're not good enough for the club or we don't know. That's another story. But you know, life goes on, doesn't it?
Just going back on your playing career there, Guy, before we do close it up, what would you say was your happiest moment at Oldham?
Being up there and spending time with the guys and being around the place and, you know, going on the back pitch and, you know, the training pitch, the old little Wembley we used to call it, and going down to the training ground on the main road, like just hanging around with the lads in Manchester and playing the games and, you know, just the whole element really of being around the club. To me, when I joined that club, it was a nostalgic club anyway.
Yeah.
Like, I grew up watching that club be successful.
Yeah.
Going into the Premier League, it was an honour to play for the football club.
Yeah.
It was a proud moment to play for the football club.
Yeah.
Because of the situation they've been in, I think they're just coming off a cup run. Brian looked like he was turning it around, you know, in the cup run he'd had. You know, yeah. And then obviously I'd come and joined and been around it, like the successful players that you had in and around the building.
Yeah.
So. To go down, it felt like it was on the up, you know, and it generally felt like that. So it was a proud moment of mine, and that's what I said. I was well happy to come on this podcast, speak to the fans, speak to you guys,
yeah.
Speak about the club's current moments at the minute. But I ain't got a negative bone in my body for the football club.
No,
like, I enjoyed it. I mean, we trained. I think it was I've got the vision in my head. There's a Lancaster pub in Oldham, big pub with like. Grounds, and we trained at the back of there.
I think it was Bridgewater. I think it's called now. It was like it's on the corner. We know where you mean.
Chapel Road.
Yeah. It's...
No. There's an area. There's pre-season. We went to a training pitches. Basically, they weren't training pitches, but it was a big Lancaster pub. It was a Lancaster bomber pub or something at the back end of Oldham.
I think it's Avro.
Going out towards Rochdale.
Yeah.
We trained there, and we had like 3 weeks basically parked there.
Yeah,
and I just remember like every day in there having such a laugh, and at the time, you know, we had the young lads there. I think Trotts was still training with us at the time, Neil Trotman, and loads of different things were going on. And I just remember going to train every day. Absolutely, couldn't wait to get there.
Yeah,
and I've been at clubs where I couldn't wait to get away from.
Yeah, no.
There's more clubs that luckily I've had more clubs where I couldn't wait to get there than I've had I couldn't wait to get away from.
Yeah,
so a positive time.
Absolutely. I remember one of your goals, Branston. I'll talk to my mate here when we're getting all the notes here. I remember your goal against Chesterfield at home. Absolute bullet header in the top corner. I turned around, I went, what a meathead he is. What a great centre-half he is. And I went mad. It was a great, honestly, Branston guy. I remember, absolute bullet. No, absolutely. Absolute bullet header. I don't know if you probably remember it. Yeah.
You know, 40 odd times, scored a few goals, you know, only scored 20 odd goals in my career, but, you know, three or four of them were with you guys, and, you know, 40 odd appearances, 1 in 10 for a centre-half's good.
Yeah.
You know, 1 in 8, 1 in 10's good for a centre-half. So, I was enjoying my football, and when you start seeing them stats, and I know predominantly back then it wasn't stat-driven, but, you know, I was doing a lot of my heading in, I'm doing a lot of my clearances were very good, and I was concise, and training was good, we had good people around us. I was playing some of my best football. And, you know,
as
I said, like, can't help but look back and smile about it.
Well, my mate here, Guy, he absolutely loved Stefan Stam. You know.
Wow.
Yeah, we absolutely loved him at Oldham.
He's had a problem with his injuries.
We absolutely loved him.
He was just too good looking for his own good. He was just too good looking. He was like, the women he used to come in with, oh my God. Never seen anything like it. And then he got settled down and that was him done like. But, you know, what a guy he was. What a lad.
Great centre-half, weren't he?
I thought he was a great kid. Super talented, but... And he could edit as well. He could defend.
Yeah.
You know, he could put his foot in. He could defend. He didn't mind the tackle. He was such a good guy. I think he followed Warnie to Yeovil and places like that.
I think, he did. Yeah, you're right.
I think he's a supermodel. I end up in a supermodel.
A bit of a change. You're not fancy doing the supermodel, Guy?
Yeah, Halloween costumes.
We'll touch on about Paul Warne there, Guy.
What you said, one about
We'll put this on thingy. But Paul Warne, obviously, we absolutely love Paul Warne as well, because you said it touched on that guy. You said about when Steph is...
I was in the car with him for a long time. I did touch him. You're not getting me in trouble for that. he lived in my house when I was at Rotherham.
Yeah.
He kind of camped around my house when he was travelling over from Wigan with Polly, Mike Polly.
Yeah.
And listen, a top lad. Obviously, you can
grafter. Biggest grafter I've ever seen at Latics, nice guy.
Kid. He's a nice fella. You know, he was always down to earth and you know, always listened to your elements and always wanted to help. And he's took that into his coaching and he's took that into his...
He's a great manager.
Yeah, he's a great manager. And I didn't see anything else of him other than being a good person at the time. And he came and lived with me and we went away together and we spent time together with his family. And, you know, when I go to Rotherham now and watch players and, you know, I took, obviously, Daniel Everson there last season, if you can remember.
Yeah.
He got helped get promoted because obviously it was a great opportunity for him to step up. But Warnie's a good guy, Rob Scott's a good guy. And these are lads I'd worked with and played with at Rotherham and knew that they deliver what they say, deliver what I say. And if you've got a few players like that in the dressing room, you know, bang. The best centre-half you ever had at the football club was Chris Wells.
Yeah.
You know, by a country mile. And his foot was on backwards because it was that badly damaged. You know, he literally walked with one foot facing one way and one foot facing the other.
Yeah.
And his ankle was that bad. So he played all season with basically a broken ankle.
Bloody hell.
And that's what you don't, you know, the things that go on behind the scenes just to get on a football pitch as a footballer are astronomical.
Yeah.
And that's some of the big things that I've just been speaking about on another podcast about psychology of football. You know, just getting out on a pitch, you never feel 100%.
No.
I feel great today. I can't remember any instances where I felt great going onto a football pitch. You know how you feel when you start running in the warm-up.
Yeah.
And literally, your body's like, you know, I had a tough week that, and then you go and play on a Saturday.
Well, we're like that on our 6-a-side team on a Wednesday. Oh, you think I'm carrying a caravan all around?
Once a week. And it takes you 3 days to recover, doesn't it?
I'm telling you, honestly, guy, it feels like I'm picking up a caravan around when I'm running around the pitch.
Imagine that 6 days a week.
Oh, I couldn't do it.
And you lot are complaining that we didn't play well on Tuesday night.
Yeah.
You've got to play football every day.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
I couldn't.
And the body element of it, it's just left a lot of my mates now struggling to walk properly.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, I've got aches and pains in my body now. That, you know, I'm sure it's arthritis, and I'm fucking 40. I'm not 65.
Well, before we end this, guy, what are you actually doing in the game now? Obviously, I know you go on about Leicester. I gather it's with Leicester, I guess.
Yeah, I work for Leicester City. I'm the current under 23s down loan manager.
Yeah.
So I work with the lads who are out on loan. I'm speaking to them on a daily basis. Everyone's got a different story. Everyone's got a different pathway. We're working with them. We're trying to make them better players, better people, and making sure that their careers are going in the right direction for Leicester City, but also for themselves.
Was you involved in the Iverson deal to Oldham then, I guess?
As I took over that was already happening.
Oh, right, okay.
So as I took over the deal, it was already happening. It was already going into Oldham. So when I went into the loan management in December, he's already at Oldham.
Right, okay.
But I'd already, funny enough, I'd already seen him.
Yeah.
And I'd recommended him before I'd even got the job at Oldham.
Yeah.
I'd recommended him to Mike Pollitt, who ended up going into management with Rotherham.
Yeah.
And I said, look, you know, there's a keeper at Oldham you want to go have a look at. And he went, yeah, I really like him anyway. But then when I was coaching at Leicester before I took the loan management role, I then walked into the loan manager's job and me and Polly watched him a few times for Oldham. So the opportunity to get in the first team of Oldham was a great thing for him. And I sat with Abdullah, sat with the guys, went and sat with Alan Ardy again around the board. And like I said, like that. I've been up there so many times now, and I just see people trying.
Yeah.
I don't see people trying to stitch you up as fans. I see people trying their nuts off to turn the club around.
Yeah.
You know, and I've met Harry Poole. I know how passionate he is about coaching. I know how passionate he is as a man.
Yeah.
I don't think he's genuinely, you know, just fucking up for no reason. I think he's trying his nuts off every day. Because I've seen what he's tried to do at Crawley.
Yeah.
Which, you know, has gotten these other jobs that he's done because he's done good things. So give him time. See if he can turn the ship around, which takes time.
Yeah.
And get behind the football club instead of on top of it.
Yeah, he mentioned in the press conference what he did a couple of weeks ago, Harry Kewell. He said it takes 3 years to get your authority on a team. Obviously, football in this day and age, you don't really get 3 years. But do you tend to agree what he is saying there?
Yeah. I think the authority end of it, it's very difficult to get your authority onto players now because they've all got their own opinions anyway.
Yeah.
But what you've got to do, in my opinion, is get players to buy into you as a coach.
Yeah.
Get players to believe in what you're telling them. So if you say that's yellow over there, they've got to believe it.
Yeah.
And they can believe it by showing that it's yellow, by making sure that they see it's yellow, and by convincing them that is yellow over there.
Yeah, absolutely. And
you've got to make sure that they believe you, that you believe it.
Yeah.
And I'm going over there because he's yellow, and I'm just using that as an example of perception. You know, yeah. They've got to believe in everything they see from you.
Yeah.
So no. if you're asking them to work hard, you've got to be working hard. If yeah. they're asking you to, you know, be this, that, and the other tactically, you've got to show them tactically.
Yeah.
What you want from them, and this is the rapport end of it, and the learning end of it, and it takes time for them to learn that.
Yeah.
But the terminology authority, I wouldn't have used myself in the conversation, but you know, I've said some things in the heat of the moment as well when I've been a coach or a manager. So it's sometimes difficult after them press conferences when you've just been beat or if people aren't listening, you've just come off from a conversation, you use that
yeah.
that dressing room incident to launch a conversation with the press. And they only print what they want to print just to stitch up sometimes.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So did you go into you managed Chesterfield for a brief spell, was that right? Did you go into management?
No, yeah, I did. And they asked me to go in and run the ship till the new manager come in.
Yeah.
I'd go into management. But it's having the right offer at the right time, and I don't think I've had that. I've had offers. I've had opportunities to manage, but it's been very difficult for me to accept certain things that aren't my way of thinking.
Yeah.
I'm not going to wait around too long, but I'm not going to rush into it either.
No.
I want to learn stuff behind the scenes and more, you know, mentoring, more coaching, more coaching off the pitch than on the pitch.
Absolutely.
I don't believe myself personally that you need to be a good coach to be a good manager, and I don't think you need to be a good manager to be a good coach. So there's finding happy medium in between the two.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Making sure that you've got an understanding of the whole aspect of it before you go in it, because I don't want to go in it and fail.
No, absolutely. You got to do it for your right reason. You know, absolutely. I couldn't agree more, Guy. So,
yeah, really do appreciate that you give some great in-depth into the club. Obviously, the time we always talk about the Ronnie Moore era down there, like happier times. And obviously, your football knowledge, obviously, now with dealings with Abdallah and the club and stuff like that, it's good to take on somebody who's there, been behind the scenes.
You know, we really do appreciate it, you know. Honestly.
No, thanks for getting me on, lads. I'm somebody that's always backing the club in regards because I want it to do well, because...
Yeah.
Inevitably, as an ex-player, I think if the club does well, I do well.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I couldn't agree more.
Why would you want it
yeah,
to
definitely.
Fail? Why would I want Harry to fail and Abdullah to fail? I wouldn't.
No.
But I don't want it to fail because I don't want the fans to be sitting there moaning and groaning. And when I say moaning and groaning as well, but it affects you.
Of course.
It affects your family, it affects your friends, you know, you get the ump. You don't enjoy your beer on a Saturday, you don't enjoy your beer. You know, it's a pastime that's a hobby to you guys that you spend a lot of money on. So they've got to respect you, and I'm a big believer in that. I think the fans are fantastic in football. It's very difficult for me to watch football matches without fans there because you're part of it. And yeah. It must be difficult for you to log on and watch it, but please do, go and watch the local team. Go and watch you support your club, because without you guys watching it online, you know, it's going to be quicker, the process of some of these clubs failing.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And giving your money to the football club will keep that football club there in the future. And you've done your part. And that's how you got to think of it.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. But really do appreciate you coming on, Guy. I honestly couldn't thank you more. I wish we had more people as honest as you on there, Guy. I really, really do appreciate it. And I think Oldham fans will love this, because you've been honest and you know, you give everything at Oldham, and we appreciate it. I really, really do.
No, well, thanks for asking me on, and all the Oldham fans who are listening, you know, get me on the football club and get positive again like it used to be. I'm sure, you know, in the future we'll get the place rocking, because I wouldn't want to see it any other way. I'd love to go back there as a fan, go back and watch with you lot, and then go down to the local and have a few beers with you.
Well, I tell you what, I've got your number anyway now, Brian, so whenever you can. Oh, right, I like it. No, honest, I've got your thing. If you any, honestly, any, if you went, the fans allowed her back in, no doubt we'll have a beer and talk about the yeah, days at Latics.
Brilliant.
Same to you. Take care.